Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This is Stinchfield, the podcast. So, Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Pete, as he is known, goes on with Margaret Brennan on these horrible Sunday morning shows. And what does he do? He spews the most outrageous climate nonsense you could ever imagine, to the point where Margaret Brennan even laughs at him. Now, Brennan is a huge leftist. She despises common sense. She despises people on the right, yet she laughs at Pete Buttigieg. So this climate hoax that they are perpetrating on us, I'm going to go through some examples of what Pete Buttigieg says and why it's so ridiculous, and then I'm going to bring you the real experts, experts I have found to refute what he says and what the climate zealots say. And this all for you on a very special day, Memorial Day. And I wish everybody out there, I say happy Memorial Day because I think those who gave their life for us to have the freedoms that we do would want us to celebrate on Memorial Day, as long as we're still thinking about their sacrifice, remembering them, and being grateful for that ultimate sacrifice. Of course, the podcast is brought to you by Midas Gold Group, MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD. Now is the time to put your money into precious metals. Midas Gold Group can help you. Let's get the show started.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks, so thank you so much for joining me today. Should we get right off the bat with it? Pete Buttigieg, on with Margaret Brennan, Sunday morning talk show. She laughs at him. I want you to watch this, and I want you to watch her snicker at the end of this.
The Federal Highway Administration says only 7 or 8 charging stations have been produced with a $7.5 billion investment that taxpayers made back in 2021. Why isn't that happening more quickly?
So the president's goal is to have 500,000 chargers up by the end of this decade. Now, in order to do a charger, it's more than just plunking a small device into the ground. There's utility work, and this is also really a new category of federal investment. But we've been working with each of the 50 states. Every one of them is getting formula dollars to do this work,
engaging them, though?
In the first handful, again, by 2030, 500,000 chargers. And the very first handful of chargers are now already being physically built.
You see her? She literally laughs at him. 7 or 8 chargers. Now, I want you guys to do the math there. $7 billion have been spent. There's 7 or 8 chargers. That's $1 billion a charger. I think Tesla can build chargers for a lot less than $1 billion each. Don't you? They're all over the place. This is the problem with government. He says this with a straight face, and yet we know that this is outrageous. This is a waste of taxpayer dollars. And what you see are fewer people now buying electric vehicles. Ford lost tens of millions of dollars on its electric vehicle program. Losing, they're going to shut it down. All of these car makers that have tried to transition over say it isn't going to work. And yet, Buttigieg, Team Biden double down on it as the world literally laughs at them. On Face the Nation, I'm surprised she brought up President Trump. But President Trump has been very outspoken about electric vehicles. Now, he has the same view as me. You want to buy an electric vehicle? Fine. Just keep the government out of the way. Stop subsidizing these things. Stop spending taxpayer dollars on these things because it doesn't make any sense from a financial perspective or a limited government perspective. Let the free markets work. She brings up President Trump's comments and then lets Pete Buttigieg respond. This is pretty good.
Donald Trump repeatedly talks about President Biden's decision to force the industry towards making 56% of car batteries electric by 2032, 13% hybrid. Listen to what he said in New Jersey recently.
Do you notice he's trying to save the electrical vehicle, but not the gas powered, which is the vehicle that everybody wants? They're going crazy with the electric car, costing us a fortune. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars subsidizing a car that nobody wants and nobody's ever going to buy.
He's not wrong.
Oh, he's
on
wrong.
The purchasing. He's not. Of the 4 million vehicles purchased, you know, what, 269,000 electric vehicles were sold in the U.S. market. It's up like 2%.
Every single year, more Americans buy EVs
but
than the year.
Well,
this is really important.
More quickly.
Every single year, more Americans buy EVs than the year prior.
up 2%. 269,000 electric vehicles bought. I would imagine many of those are government agencies that are buying the electric vehicles. This is not a win for the American people. The American people, by and large, are speaking with their pocketbooks, and they're saying, we don't want electric vehicles. We want regular gas power cars. Now, why the auto workers unions would come out and support Joe Biden, I have no idea. The auto workers themselves, I think you're going to see, are not supporting Joe Biden at all. So it gets worse with Brennan here. He again makes all kinds of wild claims about climate. I mean, just the sheer fact that Face the Nation has him on to talk about climate tells you all you need to know about NBC and what they think is important, even though she pushed back on him, which I am impressed with. Hands down, I'll give it to her. She pushed back. Thank you, Margaret Brennan. You're usually such a giant witch with a B, if you know what I mean. But this is Buttigieg again making a wild claim about turbulence. Now, apparently, when you're flying in an airplane, the pilot says, buckle up, we're going to hit some rough air. Well, that's climate change, too. I had no idea.
The reality is the effects of climate change are already upon us in terms of our transportation. We've seen that in the form of everything from heat waves that shouldn't statistically even be possible, threatening to melt the cables of transit systems in the Pacific Northwest, to hurricane seasons becoming more and more extreme, and indications that turbulence is up by about 15%.
Turbulence is up by 15%, so that's climate change. I mean, how do they make these correlations? To me, it's wacky. And I don't think they can prove that somehow this is man-made, which is the ultimate proof, is even if there is cyclical events when it comes to these things, is it man-made? Folks, I'll tell you, this has been going on forever. Flashback to Dan Rather.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Now, remember, it was global warming back then. Now it's not global warming. You can't say that because the temperatures go up, the temperatures go down. In fact, as you'll see in a little bit, more people have died because of cold weather on Earth, not warm or hot weather. That's a fact. Should we just play a little piece of this report from this guy back in the 80s? Let's see.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded, along with low-lying areas all over the world. Climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American farm belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the Earth. Now, some political leaders endorse the demands for more CO2 monitoring stations, like this one in Hawaii. And they share the anger of the scientists at Reagan administration budget cuts at a time when they feel closer to getting definitive answers.
We are not doing the kind of research that we should be doing to determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
And what they find out will affect the lives and fortunes of millions of people, the very survival of cities like this one. David Culhane, CBS News, New York.
The survival of cities like New York. Well, that was what? 40 years ago? I mean, and still, New York hasn't been overrun with floodwaters from the rising oceans. We don't call it greenhouse gas anymore because it's not warming the earth, but going through cyclical temperatures. I mean, over and over, I could play to you more and more evidence that what they've been predicting for decades is not working. These crazy climate hoaxes are only pushed upon you to try to control your behavior. Are you waking up to this yet? It is all about control. Fake the message, control you, they get what they want. It's nonsensical. Hey, folks, I'm going to play for you some of the real facts from people who know about this stuff, not these climate zealots, in just a moment. But before I do that, I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com, 972-PATRIOT is the number, 972-PATRIOT. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Grant. They got this new program that's now available to everybody. It's called Patriot One Plan. One phone, two lines on two networks. So if you're in a city where one network doesn't work so good, you have a second line that you can use. Or say you travel, you go to Miami, one works better than in Dallas or whatever it might be. One phone, two lines, two numbers. It's freaking great. I have this Patriot One Plan on my phone. Or you just get a regular phone with one line. And Patriot Mobile is great because they're America's only Christian conservative wireless provider doing the things that we love, putting money towards the policies that we love. When you talk about right to life issues, Second Amendment issues, you talk about our veterans, our first responders, all this is what Patriot Mobile supports. Don't be spending money with the woke cell phone companies anymore. Just call them at 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Again, patriotmobile.com/Grant. You tell them that Grant Stinchfield sent you. Use that promo code Grant for free activation, by the way. Promo code Grant. Tell them Grant sent you. All right. Moving on now. Thomas Massie, freedom-loving congressman, discussed the effects of climate change. He put Pete Buttigieg, this is going back a little ways, but I thought I'd play it for you, put him under the microscope and told him what the real deal is. Apparently, Pete Buttigieg has forgotten all this.
There's needs and wants to make this fantasy work by 2030, but the reality is the capability is not going to be there. The average household uses 17% of their electricity for air conditioning, and that would mean the average household uses 1,870 kilowatt hours per year for air conditioning. If that average household plugged in electric cars, do you know how much more electricity they would use in comparison to the air conditioning that air conditions their whole house?
No, but again, I would emphasize it will
be less. Let me help you with that first before we go on, because the numbers are important. It would take four times as much electricity to charge the average household's cars as the average household uses on air conditioning. Do you think that could be? So if we reach the goal by 2030 that Biden has of 50% adoption instead of 100% adoption, that means the average household would use twice as much electricity charging one of their cars as they would use for all of the air conditioning that they use for the entire year. Do you think this could contribute to rolling blackouts and brownouts in areas of the country where air conditioning is basically considered essential?
Not if we prepare. Look, the fact that people who have electric vehicles are going to use more electricity can't be a reason to give up. The idea that America is inferior to the other countries that have figured this out just doesn't sit well with us in administration, and that's why we're investing in a better grid.
In the time that I have left, let me say, I'm not saying we shouldn't prepare. I told you at the beginning of this, I'm bullish on this technology, but the numbers and the rate of adoption has been developed using political science, not engineering. They're impractical. And if we blindly follow these goals that Biden has set out, it will cause pain and suffering for the middle class. And I yield back, Mr. Chair.
So think about that. If everybody in America starts charging electric vehicles, we'll use four times the amount of electricity than we use now. What does it take to power our electricity plants? Many of them, especially here in Texas, natural gas is what we power electricity plants. Many of them around the country, not enough, in fact, are coal-fired power plants. Clean coal technology is very, very good now, but they're so afraid of it because they hate fossil fuels. So what do they think is going to power the electric generation plants that will generate power to charge our electric vehicles so we're not burning oil? I mean, all of it is a cycle and a circle you know, you're going to take from one, but you got to add from another. And so they do not understand any of this when it comes to all of this. This was a speech I saw at CPAC Australia. Yes, CPAC Australia. This gentleman was laying facts down for us when it comes to climate change.
I don't have opinions. I have demonstrable facts. These facts are validated and these facts are repeatable. Fact number one, no one has ever shown that human emissions of carbon dioxide drive global warming. Never been shown. And if it could be shown, then you would have to show that the 97% of emissions, which are natural, do not drive global warming. Game over. We are dealing with a fraud. It's a scientific fraud from day one. We hear the propaganda that increases of the gas of life, a trace gas in the atmosphere, will bring a disaster and that we will have runaway global warming. Sorry, folks, we've known for 200 years from chemistry that it's the exact inverse. Now, I'm sure some of you tried this last night at the dinner with a champagne or a beer and you forgot to drink it and it warmed up and it kept bubbling and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. And that is the inverse solubility of carbon dioxide. We've known that for 200 years. We see it from the ice cores. When we drill into ice, we have chemical fingerprints that tell us what the temperature was, and we have little bits of trapped air. And we can show that when we had natural warming, some 650 to 6,000 years later, we had an increase in carbon dioxide. It's not carbon dioxide that drives temperature, it's the exact inverse. Another fraud.
So, that's the kind of guy we need to hear from more often. Mainstream media won't play you stuff like that. And the bottom line is CO2 is needed. CO2 is needed to grow plants. CO2 is needed for the air. It's needed for nutrients. You name it, CO2 makes the earth and world go round, man. It really does. Hey, I'm going to play an interview for you I did with Mark Morano from Climate Depot. 1,600 scientists has said the climate change zealotry is fake. It's a fraud. It's all of that is nonsensical. This is Pope Francis. Yes, Pope Francis is telling America that it needs to do better when it comes to climate change. This is what we're up against globally, but we'll continue to expose it. Before I play that interview, though, folks, I want you to really consider taking the precautions necessary to make sure you and your family are safe when it comes to prescription medications. So I've got excess water on hand. I've got excess food on hand. I've got ammunition like you wouldn't believe on hand. What I now have are prescription medications. It's so easy from the wellness company. I want you to go to this website, twc.health/grant. Go to the wellness company. Use that promo code grant for 10% off and get yourself a medical emergency kit with the antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics like ivermectin in this kit that will help keep you safe. And so the medical emergency kit is designed to give you life-saving medications so you have speed of delivery in your house. God forbid there was a cyber attack and the drugstores are closed. We saw that just a few months ago. God forbid there's a natural disaster, drugstores are closed, or who knows what else is happening. And you need these medications on hand. Now you'll have them. Thanks to the wellness company, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code grant. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. This is about taking precautions for your family. We know how bad things can get. Make sure you have everything you need to keep your family safe. twc.health/grant. Use that promo code grant. All right. This is the interview I was telling you about with Mark Morano. This is from Real America's Voice. Check it out. Folks, I'm going to say this because when you grow up Catholic, this kind of thing always scares you when you talk bad about the Pope. Now, I was baptized Catholic. I don't really consider myself a Catholic anymore. Certainly a believer of Jesus, but no longer really a Catholic. Pope Francis, this guy's a socialist, okay? He's criticizing the United States on climate change. And I want to read to you what he said about the United States. If we consider that emissions per individual in the United States are about 2 times greater than those of individuals living in China and about 7 times greater than the average of the poorest countries, then we should be blaming the United States, basically, he goes on to say. Now, folks, I don't want to live in China and I don't want to live in one of the poorest countries. They don't have cars. If you're a citizen in one of these very poor countries, they don't take vacations with their family. So, of course, we have per person a greater set of emissions. I don't want to live like them. But this is what a socialist wants. They want to bring to the lowest level so we're all equal. No thank you, Pope Francis. I'm out on that deal. Here's French President Emmanuel Macron hammering America. You know, he has got some nerve because France is going to need us one day. Listen.
Are you sure you are sufficiently compliant? Are you sure you are clearly addressing the same issues? This is my point. And this is why we need the resynchronization between the US and Europe. The resynchronization is, number one, the US regulation in terms of climate change should be more serious and realigned than the European ones. Second, the Europeans have to invest much more and be more serious.
Give me a break. Somebody shut that guy up. Yeah, why did we change them back to French fries? They were freedom fries. Remember that when we changed the name? These guys are nuts. You want to go after somebody, go after India, go after China. But do not come after the United States for this. So then I see finally an article and a study that I believe actually gets it right. This was in the California Globe. 1,600 scientists say, quote, no climate crisis, says the coalition of 1,600 actual scientists. You gotta be kidding me. Here's one of their bullet points, okay? Let's throw the first one up. From the letter to the California Air Resources Board, the good news is no climate crisis. Bullet point one from the article, modest warming, okay, of California is beneficial and not a cause for concern. Globally, more people have died from the cold than from the heat since 2000. Well, I think we've talked about that with our friend over at Climate Depot. He is the publisher of that organization. Former senior staff of the U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, Mark Morano, is with us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Grant. Happy to be here.
Did you see this letter from 1,600 scientists to the California Air Board?
Yes, it even has Nobel Prize laureate of physics sign the letter. And this letter as world scientists from all over the world. And the goal of this is to show there not only is no consensus, but that actual scientists, especially the scientists from MIT, from NASA, former UN scientists, all recognize there's not only no climate emergency, there's no climate concern, really. And that's really all we've ever been saying, you and I on this show. So it's finally the scientists are putting their pen to paper. This actually, 10 years ago, actually about 15 years ago now, I worked in the U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, began collecting the names of scientists. We started out with 400 dissenting scientists, grew it to over 1,000. And what was amazing about it is that at the time, Al Gore and the United Nations climate chief were both saying that the people who don't believe in global warming crisis are the same number who believe the Earth is still flat. They were smearing all the skeptical scientists. So we decided to come out with the names. And of course, this list updates that now in 2024.
Mark, they use a letter or a list of scientists and they say, oh, all these top scientists agree. It's the same thing they use over and over again. Will this replace that? Will they allow that to happen?
No, they won't. In fact, when you see those lists, in fact, many times there'll be like someone like all these scientists sign on. If you look closely at some of the lists that they promote, there's a lot of grad students on that, undergraduate grad students who are getting PhDs, and they're doing that because they have to help support their professor's work and funding. But no, here's how they create the consensus. This is important. We have all these big scientific bodies steeped in the National Academy of Science, the American Meteorological Society, the American Geophysical Union, steeped in politics and science government grants. If you poll the individual science members, in one case, the American Meteorological Society, one poll was like 75% were skeptical, but the two dozen governing board members of these science groups all toe the line with Al Gore and the UN because that's where the funding and the politics are. And many times, they don't even consult the general membership of tens and thousands of scientists. Right. But these board members issue it and they say, oh, all scientists agree. That's how they craft the illusion of consensus.
All right, let me get you a couple bullet points. We're running out of time, but I want to get a couple of these in. Paper cut four. This is from the article. CO2 is essential. Plants need CO2, sunlight, water, and nutrients from the soil to produce food and oxygen, both of which are essential for human and animal lives. Now, they don't want you to know that CO2, carbon dioxide, is essential.
No, they don't. In fact, NASA has acknowledged this, although NASA doesn't like to. But in 2016, they had a whole study on the greening of planet Earth. Forests expanding, deserts were shrinking because of the fertilization effect of extra carbon dioxide. You know how the media spins it, Grant? Climate change will bring more weeds and poison ivy. That's how they spin it, because they don't want to admit that all this plant growth will increase. Yeah, it probably will bring more weeds and poison ivy, but it'll also bring a lot more crop yields and forests.
Yeah, and corn and wheat and all of those kinds of things. All right, last one for you. This is paper cut five. California is in no danger of unusual drought. The annual precipitation in California has fluctuated greatly over the last 150 years with only slight decrease. And in fact, they point to last year, 22 out of 23 ski resorts in California had more snow than the year before.
In fact, we had a permanent drought in California, allegedly, until there was no permanent drought. It ended. In fact, the California water table's back up. But guess what? Governor Newsom is not releasing the restrictions and that power he has over the regulatory body. And if you look at California's history, a few centuries ago, the droughts in California could last almost 100 years. It was way, way worse than anything we're contemplating. And more importantly, Grant, global droughts, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, wildfires are either no trend or declining trends on climate timescales of 30, 50, 100 years. Closed. This is a scam from beginning to end, the idea of a climate crisis or a climate emergency, but it may not stop Joe Biden from declaring a national climate emergency.
Yeah, and that's when they would institute the COVID-style lockdowns and mandates. We're all looking out for that one. You better believe it. This is why we love the work you do over at Climate Depot. Mark Morano, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Grant. Appreciate it.
So, folks, that's why I have Mark Morano on, because he lays it out for you in such a simple fashion. Now, this national climate emergency, this is real. They talk about this. They believe that they could give Joe Biden presidential emergency powers, somewhat similar to what happened during the COVID virus, based off of what they dub a climate emergency. This would get us to do all kinds of mandates under presidential executive order, not basically going through Congress on any of these things. This would be disastrous. Again, it's another reason why we need Joe Biden out of the office. When you see about all of these ways, they claim President Trump wants to act like a dictator, when every single thing this administration does seems to be in dictator style. Now, I am impressed that some of the media have been more honest than I've ever seen. I mean, overwhelmingly, they're biased, right? Overwhelmingly. But every now and then we see hints, like Margaret Brennan earlier in the podcast today. She's laughing at Pete Buttigieg. Good. Well, I saw something on MSNBC, a reporter who actually reported on the Trump rally truthfully. The Trump rally in the Bronx I'm talking about how he had big crowds and why people are supporting him, why blacks and Hispanics are supporting him. It was really quite amazing to listen to her lay it out. I'm going to play that for you in just a second, but I want to remind all of you, don't forget about my friends over at Midas Gold Group, 855-322-GOLD, 855-322-GOLD. That's where you would go to buy precious metals. I know these guys. I trust these guys. They've been with me a long time. MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com. Again, the phone number is 855-322-GOLD. It's about not just an inflation hedge, not just a safety and security measure from the markets and their uncertainty, but this is also about a privacy maneuver. You can't just come in and seize gold. Gold is a physical commodity. It's gold you can hold. Start to hoard it. Hide it in your gun safe. You start to collect it. Midas Gold Group can help you. MidasGoldGroup.com. All right. I want you to listen to this reporter on MSNBC talking about the Trump rally in the Bronx, and she was honest about it.
A little counterintuitive, but I did talk to folks in that crowd who themselves were immigrants. A lot of folks from the Dominican Republic. A lot of people that I talked to were born and raised in the Bronx. For some of them, this was their first ever Trump event. And when you talk to immigrants that are going to these Trump rallies, they agree with his message on immigration. Their point is, look, I did it the right way. I came here legally. And especially those living in New York right now, the sentiment I heard from a lot of voters was, you know, we have these immigrants right now that the city is taken care of in a way that I've never felt taken care of by this city. It was a large crowd and a diverse crowd. Yes, there were some people from Westchester, from New Jersey, but there were a lot of people there that were from the Bronx, Black and Latino voters that are sick of how much they're paying for gas and groceries, that are frustrated with the situation at the border. And that find President Biden's rhetoric when it comes to minority voters a little bit offensive. Take a listen.
Legal troubles. Does any of that worry you at all?
No, at all. I think he's going to be elected the president because everyone still wants him as the president. So to me, it doesn't matter.
Biden, they have disrespected the people of the city of New York. This was the best city in the world. We're not the Great Apple anymore. We're not the Big Apple. We are the Rotten Apple.
Biden went on the Charlemagne the God show and said, you ain't black if you don't vote for him. I'm black because that's what I was, how I was born and what I am. And Trump is the man that can save this country. Period.
So interesting to talk to those voters, Anna, and multiple people actually mentioned that Charlemagne the God interview. I did press back with some of those folks mentioning some of Trump's rhetoric that's been seen as racist and bigoted. They said they don't have a problem with that. They view his actions over his words in terms of what they feel he can do for their community. Again, the economy, those pocketbook issues over and over again, top of the list.
It's important to hear from those voters. I'm glad you were there.
A little counterintuitive, but
I'm amazed, folks. I'm amazed that the anchor woman said it's important to hear from those folks. Since when does MSNBC want to hear from us? Since when do they especially want to hear from Black Make America Great Again voters? They don't ever. This is why I do see a change coming. This reporter, she even talked about Joe Biden's rhetoric. She later said President Trump's rhetoric. Rhetoric is not a nice term to use when you're talking about somebody who believes in what they're saying. I believe you wouldn't use rhetoric when talking about President Trump and what you want to do for the country. But she used it for Joe Biden. She used it for Joe Biden, too, because Joe Biden is rhetoric. It's a bunch of empty promises and an empty suit with an empty mind. That's who Joe Biden is. So you better believe that's rhetoric. That interview, that little vignette on MSNBC was stunning to me. To see that they would admit what they admitted there, that President Trump is making serious grounds and Joe Biden is in big, big trouble. All right, folks, listen to me. I don't want you to forget about my website, grantstinchfield.com, grantstinchfield.com, Stinchfield 1776 on all the social media platforms. Go follow and subscribe on YouTube, too, by the way. I started a new YouTube channel. Rumble is my safe and secure bet. So this is the number one platform. YouTube has a model there where you can make some money. The problem is they kicked me off. So please, we're trying to rebuild there to spread the message where people are. Anywhere where there are people, I will go talk to them. All right, that's the bottom line. GrantStinchfield.com. I hope you guys have a great Memorial Day. Don't forget the reason for this day. Those who made the ultimate sacrifice for us. I'm in awe of every single one of them, and I will always be grateful for them. Let's bow our heads. At some point today, remember them, say a prayer for them and their families too, by the way, because that grieving of losing a loved one, any way you lose a loved one, but especially in battle, never goes away. Folks, thank you so much. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. We'll see you on the Real America's Voice show Tuesday night. at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're off on Memorial Day for RAV. So, but we'll see you then Tuesday through Friday. It should be great. All right. Thanks for watching, folks. We'll see you soon.